Can anybody out there hear me? Hear me?
On this team, we fight that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Matty C's Sports for you and me.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
Referee Kevin McDonald has called a stop to this contest at 4 minutes, 18 seconds of round number 2, giving you your winner by TKO, Earthquake Aaron Trussell.
I'm here with you.
You guys good?
I'm here with your winner, Aaron Trussell. Dude, amazing fight. There was some heated emotion after the fight. You want to just take me through a little bit of that so we all understand?
Yeah. Okay, so last week, a teammate of mine sent me a clip of him on a podcast saying that it's another level and I'm not going to last one round with him. And so when I got up, I said, one round, right? You didn't last two. So that's what it is. I'm from a place where people don't raise their kids, they raise guns, so don't play with me.
Absolutely understood. Talk to me about that arm lock in the second round. How close was that? Take me through it real quick.
Man, we sweating like pigs in here. It wasn't nowhere close, but pigs don't sweat, so humans.
Outstanding ground and pound two to end the first and the second round. Amazing work. You got any shout outs or anything that you'd like?
Thursday was my mother's birthday. I'm undefeated on my mother's birthday week, so that's three on this one. And hopefully if y'all have me back, I'll be a little more polite, a little more calm, but please don't say nothing about me, because that's going to upset me, and I'm going to come find you, and it might not be in here.
Absolutely. One more time for your winner, Aaron Trussell, and a happy birthday to his mother.
Hey, and shout out to the Ville, 318, this is our holiday. Represent.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Matty C Sports for you and me. I got a special guest, this guy right here. At this Cage Titans doubleheader, put on a hell of a performance against Shane Delahaye. I got Aaron, the Earthquake, Trussell. How you doing this afternoon, bro?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm going to just correct y'all for, like, from this point forward so we can get it right for everybody. Earthquake is first.
Earthquake is first. Okay, got
Earthquake,
you.
Aaron, Trussell. But it happens all the time. They always ask me, and I'm like, I don't know. People just used to put the middle name in the middle, but I think it sounds better at the beginning. But just now it's on, now it's documented.
Earthquake Aaron Trussell, everybody.
Don't that sound better? Like, what you think? Like, as far as like,
I think it does flow a little bit better. I do. Now that I thought of it again. So like I said, man, you came into Cage Titans firing, bro. I mean, you had an unbelievable fight from start to finish, and you know. Shane was a tough opponent, and you know, he's fought a little bit himself. He fought amateur there, and you know, you got him in the second round. So how did you feel? I know you had a little bit of controversy before the fight, but not too crazy. So run me through the fight and all that stuff.
Just the fight. Let's start here. So I just fought last month. So like, I think this card was last Saturday, but I fought in February. So I just fought like four or five weeks prior. I finished that fight in the first round with ground and pound against the cage with elbows. So that fight ended. So give me one sec. That fight ended on, it was a Friday night, Saturday. I chilled whatever I ate. Sunday, my dog got attacked by another dog, and I got my finger bit. and I was on antibiotics. I started antibiotics. But also on Sunday, my coach hit me up, and he was like, you want to fight again next month at Cage Titans? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, send me the opponent. They sent me Shane Dillahay. And I looked at it, whatever. I was like, yeah, that looks great. Let's go. Bam. So fast forward, we're here in the fight, and I was just like, I had to do the weight cut over again. And I cut a lot of weight, I guess. it's really not that much, but when I tell people, they're always like, that's a lot of weight. And I put it back on pretty quickly, too. So after the fight, after I weighed in for my Combat FC fight, I was 30 pounds heavier by the time I fought the next day.
Damn.
So I put back on the weight quickly. And so I was like, dang, what I was like, thinking. I was like, so I had to get the weight off again. So pretty much immediately the whole thing for this month was like, I was already in shape for a fight because I just fought. But then it was like, fat camp over again. But honestly, it came off quickly. Like I fluctuated a little bit, but I made weight. And then, so fast forward to this Cage Titans. I had to weigh in twice. I had to double back to get on weight because I was a pound and a half over, I believe. But I went and cut weight like in 30 minutes. I lost like 2 pounds. And so we weighed in. We were good. I didn't put back on as much weight as usual. I only put back on like 20 pounds. Honestly, when we were going out to the fight, I was telling Andy, man, I feel sick. I feel sick. She's like, you all right? I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm going to go. Like, I feel kind of like nauseous, to be honest. And like a little sleepy. And he was like, you want me to slap you? And then like we were in the tunnel and he was like, do you want me to slap you? Like, you know, like Quake Lito or whatever. And then I looked at him and I was like, no, do not slap me. He was like, when we get to cage, I was like, no, I don't do that. Nah, I'm good. I'll figure it out in there. Don't slap me. So, man. So I get in there, man, we do my little circle or whatever. And then we get to the corner. And then I don't know, like he said my name. If you look at when the fight drops, you'll see, like, I noticed the little things because I plan everything out. Like, I'm super cerebral when it comes to, like, the entire game, like the walkout, what my opening exchange is going to be, what I'm going to throw. And then even as far as, like, what I want to do after the fight, like, what I'm going to do when they're announced, man, I think about all that stuff. But, like, during the announcement, like, I was, like, off. And I remember I threw up, my city, and I, like, threw up the wrong thing, and I was, dang it. And then I did it again. I threw it up wrong again, and I was like, F it, it's over. I just got to let that go. It's in the past. Let's go fight. And so, honestly, once, we did the announcement, like, whatever, I was feeling nauseous. But as soon as they were like, go, you ready? Or Betty, they asked me, like, you ready? Shane held up his hand, touch gloves. And I said, no, I don't touch gloves. I don't believe in it. So we come out, and then I don't know. As soon as he was in front of me, I was like, all the nauseousness went away. And like, even though I was feeling like my legs felt a little weak, but I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I just did this. Now then part of me was like, I can do this in my sleep. And so like, even though I feel bad, like, I can do this. And so went out, I threw a couple of jabs at him, and like, he bagged up. And then I threw a cross and side note, one thing people tell me is like my arms are longer than they look. So it's like they're a lot longer. Like when I'm in front of people, apparently like the range that like I throw, it looks like I'm further. Like my arms aren't that long. And then when I throw it, it's a lot longer than you expect it to be. So you move out the way, but it's not far enough. So I caught him with the two. Clean, and I was like, oh, as soon as I caught up with the two clean, I was like, I got it. Because like it was a filler. I threw a filler and he reacted to it like a lot. And I was like, that is I'm still touching you. Like I'm still testing the water. And he went for the takedown. I bumped him with my hips and defended the takedown. He went for another takedown. He pushed me. I defended that one. He pushed me against the fence. I believe he rotated position, grabbed an ankle pick, and then I worked up from the ankle pick. And then one thing I noticed is that he used to wrestle, and I was like, oh, he used to wrestle. He was probably going to go for a lift. in which he did. He went for a lift, and once he went for when he went for the lift, because he wrestled, I knew, like, my instinct, because I wrestled pretty much until I was like 13 years old, was to do like a wrestling switch. No, that's a lie. I didn't do a switch. Since like he wrestled, I knew that he would usually pressure into you. That's like the wrestling instinct, is to pressure into your opponent when you take him down to like get him to belly out. But if I did a sit out, like the way that he threw me, I just landed on my butt. And if somebody pressures into you, the easy thing to do is, if you like wrestle, you know, is to dig your heels in, and then they like lift you up with their, like, they do all the work for you. And so, worked the first time, whatever, we scrambled, he went for it again, and he got hip to it. So I give him credit for that, because the second time he didn't drive into me. The second time he pulled me into him. So credit to there, credit there. I was like, okay, like, dang, he figured it out quick. I should have took advantage of that better when he gave me that opportunity. So we scrambled, he got a hook in, and then we got caught in like an awkward position. Like, we were sitting on my leg, and there was literally nothing I could do. I was like, I'm just sitting here. All I could do was hold his hands. And I was like, you can't hit me. And like, cause it's almost weird. Like, I was sitting on my, you'd have to see it. Like, my leg was in an awkward position, and there was no way that I could base up. I had no strength to move my body, like my hips at all, because of like the way that my legs were sprawled out.
Yeah.
And so, eventually, like, the he started kneeing me in the spine, and like I looked to the ref and I was like, this is not to the spine. Is what I'm thinking. I'm looking at him like, this is not to the spine. And then he didn't say anything, and he just looked at me, so I had to address it. So I was like, all right, let me move. I don't want to get kneed in the spine or kneed in the back. Like, let me address that. And so that's when I let go of his hand. He tried to grab the choke, or he went for the choke, but when he, I'm trying to be correct. Oh, that's what it was. So when I had to get my leg out. That's what I went for first. So he started kneeing me in the spine, and I was like, I need to move my leg because I can't move. So I went to reach for my leg to just manually move my leg over to like, so I can actually use my hips to fight out. But as soon as I reached down to grab both my hands to my leg, that's when he went for the choke. But since he went for the choke, he rolled to his back, which freed my leg, which allowed me to scramble. And luckily, like, when he went for the choke, it's like real quick. But like, I already had, like, he had two on one, he had both hands clasped, but I was quick enough to get my hand in between his hands for like a second. So it was like his hands hugging my hand. And then I transitioned to under the chin, and I started rolling immediately, because I was like, oh man, it wasn't there, but I could tell he was going for it. Like, he was going for it, if that makes sense. Because sometimes it could be like a little neck cranked, and you never know, he could have a good squeeze on him. So it was like, let me just move now. But I could feel that he was like, gotcha.
Like, yeah, I saw that when I was looking on when I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, is he gonna get out of this, or is he like in trouble? And then no, it wasn't that case at all.
Nah, but I could tell that he like I don't know, energy. I hate the word energy, because it makes you feel stupid like a hippie. But I don't know, I could feel the energy. He was like, okay, this is my moment. Like, I could feel it. And then I feel like it was my, like, since I could feel that, that allowed me to be like, all right, I'm going to burst now. Because if you're going to go for it now, I'm going to go for it now. Like, instead, because sometimes I feel like you have to time your, like, explosions. And sometimes you time it wrong. You time it too early, you time it too late. So That was just a moment where I felt it. And I was like, he's going for it now. And I got to turn. I got to move. And then once I got on top, I felt that I was stronger than him. Like, and then that was pretty much, I felt that I was strong. I was like, okay. And then I tried to finish the round there, but actually we thought the round was over, because I was looking at my corner, and like, we were like, they were like, we don't know. And I was like, I don't know. And referee was like, stool. And I was like, all right, I guess it's not. And honestly, in between round one and round two, like, when he got up, I didn't see his face when he got up. So I'm not going to say I could see something in his eyes. I didn't see his face. But he got up, whatever. I sat in the corner. I sat down there. My corner was giving me instructions. At this time, I don't remember exactly what they were telling me. But I was looking at him. Like, I was kind of looking at him. And I don't know, I felt like when he got up, he seemed a little discouraged.
Yeah. So,
like, he seemed discouraged. And then I was like, all right. But I was still like, I don't know. I was like, takedown's coming off the bell. That's what I was thinking. I was like, he's going to go for a takedown. But I'm not gonna tell that I had shaking him up a bit. Like, no pun intended, but I could tell. And then we came out pretty much the same thing. Hey, that's my dog. Sorry.
I've had my daughter in here. My dog. It's all good.
Yeah, he's like looking at me. He wants a belly rub. But we came out to that round. I can't remember exactly what happened, but I remember because I was pissed at myself. I told my corner after the fight, the only thing I'm mad about the entire fight, I threw a naked cross. Because in that moment, and I'll be honest, like, dang, I lost, like I was being disrespectful. I just threw a cross. I didn't set it up. I just threw a naked cross at him. And then that's when he took me down in the second round. And then we scrambled a bit. I believe he got me in an arm bar. I got out of that. He got me in a knee bar. I got out of that. He got me in a Kimura. And then apparently it looked terrible is what people told me, but it didn't really bother me at all. Like, if that makes sense, like, it might've been in a bad position. Cause I've seen the video, I've seen the film, but like, it looks bad in the film. Like, even me looking, I was like, that looks bad. But
that was the thing for me too. Yeah. That was the thing for me. I could only see it through that perspective. Like, cause I was in the back doing the post interviews.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was thinking the same thing. Oh, this might be bad, but hearing it from you now, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it's like weird. Like, when I looked at it, I was like, everybody like looked bad. And then I could tell he was cranking it too. Like, I could feel him cranking it, but it was like, it was like, okay. It sounds weird to say, because I feel like you don't play with limbs like that. You usually play like with chokes like that. When you be like, I'll let you do it until you get tired. And it's usually not like a limb response. But to me, I don't know, in that moment, it was like, this is okay here. This isn't that bad. And then it was like, after, like, I think he tried to transition. And when he transitioned, I just rotated my wrist and then pulled my arm out. And I was like, okay. And then I was back on top. And like I said earlier, I was like, when I was on top of him, I felt that I was stronger than him. Like, I felt that I was, like, my top pressure, it felt heavy on him. If that makes sense, like, he felt small underneath me.
Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with you.
Like, he felt small underneath me, and I was like, I was surprised, because I feel like even my teammate, it's funny, because after the fight, one of my teammates, or my cornerman, both, he was saying, like, dang, both of y'all look real big. And in my head, I was like, I look big. He looks small. It's what I was telling. Because, like, even when we, like, first, like, stepped up to each other, I felt like that I was bigger. Like, even, like, coming out, I was like, and I'm never bigger in my fights. If you look at, like, the statistics of all my opponents, I'm always shorter. And so the fact we were the same height, and I'm used to fighting people taller than me, I was like, oh, we're the same height. So to me, it was like, you're tiny. Even though we're the same size, but I'm used to training with, like middleweights, and I'm used to fighting like welterweights that are 6'2". And then in my first couple fights, I have a lot of fights at middleweight as well. So I'm usually smaller. So somebody my size was like, I don't know. It was like, oh, this is like, you're a tiny dude. But visually it's like, we're the same size. But to me, in my head, mentally, I'm used to the bigger guys. So I'm like small.
Yeah, so. But and that finish, man, that finish was unreal. Like, I could just see by, I think I came out at the end of that, honestly,
to
Shane's fight and your fight. And, bro, like, just the, like, force of your arms was like, oh, my God, like, he's going to kill Shane Delahaye in there. Like,
this sounds terrible. This is going to sound really, really bad. And then I told my, I think my mom or my brother, they was like, you shouldn't say that. That's mean. Like, you shouldn't say that. But like, Deontay Wilder kind of said it, but like, not to that point. Like, I don't need Deontay Wilder to say he wants to kill somebody. I don't want to kill anybody. But it's just like, I don't know. To me, a knockout doesn't count unless they go unconscious. So like, in my first knockout, he went unconscious. My second knockout, he was still very much awake. It was kind of because of the cut. And I didn't even like, I was, if you were at the fight, people were like, why'd you say what I said in the post fight? I was like, I was unsatisfied with the win. Like, I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm gonna do better next time. To me, it's not a knockout unless it's a knockout. So I'm trying to knock you out. I'm just trying to make you go out. And then once you go out, I'll stop. And like, okay, you're done. Wait, if you're still awake, if you're still defending yourself, you're still awake. So I'm going to hit you until you stop defending yourself. And then once you stop defending yourself, I'll stop.
And bro, your team was fucking dominant that night. Holy fuck, bro. I mean, I know you were in with me when Valdina was there too. I know he's not Citadel Tom, but
yeah.
Like when he was, you're like, there you go, Valdina, baby. Let's go. You got this right now, bro. You got this. And I sponsored him and Pete, and Pete had one of the best fights I've like ever seen in Cage Titans history.
Horse, I was. Like
it was so fucking loud.
Yeah, that was a good fight. They put on. That was a good one.
And then the final one.
Too. What's his name? Al, what's the guy Pete's fought?
Mo Alkalani.
He showed up. Like
He did show up. Yeah.
He showed up.
Because, you know, Pete, he's like the fan favorite of Cage Titans. Yeah. And then this guy comes in and he's like, well, I'm not letting you get off easy. And then he's just a beast, and that's why I respect Pete all the way, bro. Like, I've followed him since I first started this, and then he's a cool dude going helping my daughter out, making her, he said happy birthday to her, for God's sake. So much respect to Pete.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Pete. I mean, you train with killers. Just because you're training with middleweights and welterweight, bro, you have an excellent gym.
They don't understand. As I feel like the people around here don't understand. Like, we different.
There's some killers in there.
Say we different. It's a different group in there. It's like
scary.
It's y'all gotta come in. Y'all should see, like, and you gotta. I know every fighter probably says like the percentage that you go out there in the cage. That's probably like, I feel like that's like 10-20% of what we showing. You come to spar, you be like, these dudes some athletes with killer instinct. Like, it's crazy in there.
I think it was your interview when I was talking to you, and I was like, yeah, Citadel Tong has a bunch of killers. And then it was crickets, like, because none of your coaches said nothing. I was like, did I say something wrong? Like,
we just know. We don't want to talk about it. We be about it.
I like that, bro. I like that.
We just like, it's almost like we the best kept secret. It's like, it's almost like, shh, like, be quiet. Like, you can't tell them, because they still accepting the fights, because once they figure out, they're gonna start saying no.
So what made you come up from Louisiana to here to train and box? And I know you box too, but what made you come up here?
Oh, that's a story. I just ended like, I wasn't gonna give up on my mixed martial arts dream, my kickboxing dream. Like, I didn't want to, so it didn't really matter where I lived. I was going to pursue it no matter where I was. I just ended up here. But I was saving up because I was just at home, like in this, like where I was at. Like, I wasn't really doing anything. I was working at, I was a bouncer at a strip club when I was working at Applebee's. And I was just like, really just training, just still training. I really wasn't taking fights, but I was training. So that's like the thing about my whole record. If you look at my record, like from amateur all the way to pro, you'll see there's like 2 or 3 year gaps. In there, there's a year and a half gap here, a 2 year gap here, 3 year gap here. That's not, I'm not just like, oh man, I'm not doing it anymore. No, that's me like getting better. Like, I had a fight, and I'm like, damn, that happened. Let me not go fight again until I feel like that's not gonna happen to me again. Let me go get better in that part, and then okay, I'll fight once again, and then something else will happen. I'm like, all right, that happened. Instead of me just be like, okay, that was just a bad night. I'm like, all right, man, I'm still young. I mean, let me go. Train some more. Let me go get better. And so I would just keep getting better. But anyway, I had like a lot of, I was saving up to move to San Jose because I wanted to train at AKA. Because I was like, DC's from Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana. Like,
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a match made in heaven. I wrestled. He wrestled. I was like, that was the dream. So I was saving my money up to move there. Then my older brother, he's been living here at that point for maybe like 6 years. His wife is from here, so he ended up moving here. And he came home to visit, and I was telling him about, oh, I'm going to move to San Jose, but I'm saving my money. And he's like, why don't you just move to Boston and stay with me? And I was like, Nah, I don't go to no Boston. It's cold there. You tripping. And he was just like, you ain't got no family out there. You're just going to be by yourself. Like, at least you'll have a family member here, people who know you. And I was like, nah. And then he went home. And then he left. He flew back home. And then, like, I don't know, the weekend passed. And then I think he left on a Thursday or a Friday. And then I can tell you exactly what week it was, or at least the time of year. He left, it was a Thursday or Friday. Anyway, it was just like on, I think, it had to be a Thursday. So on Friday, I looked at my bank account, and I looked at how much the tickets was to Boston, like a one-way. And I was like, I got that and a little change. And I just called my friends, and I was like, hey, man, I'm finna move to Boston. And they was like, what? They was like, bro, I'm finna move to Boston. And they was like, it's like, what is comfort? It was like, I don't know, man. I was talking to my brother yesterday. I was saving. I don't want to move right now, and I can afford to move there now because I don't got to buy a place. I can stay with my brother. I didn't ask my brother. You there?
Yeah.
People keep calling me. I'm sorry, I'm getting calls. So I didn't ask my brother permission. I was like, hey man, I'm gonna move and come see you. So I called him that night, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna move to Boston. He's like, oh, when you moving? And I was like, man, I'll be there Sunday. No, it was Monday. It's like, I'll be there Monday. Like, what Monday? And I was like, Monday, I'll be there. So he wasn't even like ready for me, prepared for me or anything. But so my friends, we got together like one last night to see each other. And it was the Floyd Mayweather versus McGregor fight.
Yeah,
we bought the pay-per-view and we watched that. And then I left the next morning. And then, I don't know, I bounced around at gyms up here, which is crazy. The first gym I actually went to when I moved here, because I was like, when you look up MMA gyms in Boston, the first one that pops up is Sitting on Tom. Yeah. Or Muay Thai gyms in Boston. That's the first one. So that's the first place I went. I walked in, and I was like, I checked it out. I really didn't get a good look. I was just kind of stayed at like the front desk area. I really didn't walk in, do a tour, because I don't know, maybe because I'm a fighter, and I just didn't want to like be in people's space. I was like, I'm just going to look back here. I ain't going to really step down and like walk all in y'all area and whatnot. So I came and I talked to Marie. I remember I talked to Marie, and then I left with her. I was like, I might come back. But where I was standing at the time, I was like, man, it's kind of far. It's not really T accessible. Or at the time, I didn't think it was T accessible because I didn't know how to use the T that way. But anyway, so I ended up going to Redline. And that's because that gym was literally, when you get off the train, it's literally right there. So it was like, you don't have to look for it. And that's like, me not knowing the area, that was easy to find. It was like easy to get to.
Now that's Citadel now, right?
It's Citadel. I mean, actually Redline reopened, but I think all the coaches from Redline, or a lot of coaches at that time, are Citadel now.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's a whole thing. But anyway, a lot happened there. You know, like Redline shut down, Citadel open, and then COVID happened. I was working with JJ. I don't know if y'all know JJ. Guy trained, he's really good too. Like he's a sleeper. People just won't accept fights with him. But I don't know why. They just won't. But anyway, I was working with his fiance, and she was like, my boyfriend goes to City on Tom. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I met him, and he was like, oh, you should come over. So I went in, and the first night I was there, they were sparring. I asked if I could spar. And this is like me coming back years later, sparred. I was right in the mix with them. Like I could tell when the guys in the room, they were like, who is this? They're like, where did he come from? And it was like they instantly, like I felt like Del Grady and all the crews, everybody, they just accepted me. Like I didn't even have to ask to be accepted. They were like, oh man,
yeah.
Come on, bro. Like, we with you. And it was like, and at first, you know, I don't know, I'm real standoffish. Like, I don't really fool with people. But, like, at first, like, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I'll stick around. But over time, I was like, okay. Honestly, since I moved to Boston, this gym, like, Sing Yong Tong is probably the most like the gyms that I'm used to back home. Like, out of every gym I've been to. I've been, like, I'm not going to name gyms because I'm just going to sound like I'm putting them down. Because I'm not. It's a lot of good training and a lot of good fighters there. But, like, as far as, like, that homie feeling that I personally like, Sitting on Tom, like, they have it. So, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I feel like you'd be a danger to people down there if you went B2 or LFA again, bro. Like,
I made my debut in LFA.
I know, but I mean, if you went to like B2, because that's a huge one down yeah. Around the Louisiana area, around that way, Kentucky, all the way up there.
Yeah. They got it's some killers down there from like they're still coming up like from my area, and I'm seeing them like, I'm like, man, y'all lucky they not here. Vice versa, because like honestly, being fighting so many different areas of the U.S., it's different styles in different regions. Every region got their own like, and you like people who like fight in one area a lot probably don't even notice it, but every region got like a style.
It's yeah, like speaking of style, I gotta ask you: food up here or food down there? What's better?
That's not even close, man. That's not even close. I will be disrespectful now.
You ain't disrespecting me because I'll go against up here.
The food here ain't holding the candle. They can't even hold. They can't even hold a candle holder. They got to get somebody to hold a candle holder for them.
Like, no, it's crawfish broils, man. Nobody knows about that up here.
We got flavor. We got flavor. We got all the flavor.
You mix the Tonys in with everything. Like the,
oh my goodness,
the food down there. I literally would be obese if I lived down there because of how good the food is down there.
I lost a lot of weight since I came here, and I think it's because of the food. I said I used to be a middleweight, but moving here, I don't eat as much, so or maybe I don't season as much.
So how many more fights you think you're going to try to, like, what's your goal for this year? How many more do you want to try to do? Since you're already two in the pocket right now.
I wanted six this year. That's what I told Andy at the beginning of the year. He laughed. Not like, oh man, you tripping. He giggled a bit, but I was serious. I was like, I want six this year. We need six because I don't know. I got people depending on me. So I need these wins, and I need them to be against quality guys. So I need four more this year.
And I respect that, like, just because, like, I saw how tough you were at Cage Titans, and I was like, damn, this dude's going to be a force in this game. And especially your resume, like, where you have, like, where you're fighting out of, like, who the people you spar with, who you fight, like you said, like, it's going to be dope to see your career.
It's a big thing. I'm getting advice from guys who've been there and guys who've seen the next level and guys who, you know, been in my shoes in a different way. Like, so they can be like, hey, don't do that. Do this. Or why are you doing that? You need to stop doing that. And then as long as you listen, you're learning.
And, bro, I liked your hair better when you had it out, bro.
That's only when I fight. It's only for the fights.
That makes you look killer, bro. Like, you don't want to fucking mess with that dude.
Shout out to Phil. Shout out to Phil, the Bambino, because he told me, like, man, you look wild when you had a fro out, bro. He said, you look way meaner. And then, because when I fought Mike, I can't pronounce people's last names, but his first name was Mike. When I fought him back last April, I had my hair braided, and Phil was like, you should have wore the fro out. And then next time, when I fought a couple months later, I was like, I'm going to wear the fro out this time. So that was his idea. Because I was just going to wear the braids and, you know, look nice. But I don't know, that savage look is – that afro bring out of man's savage instinct.
It is, bro. Like, Phil's a good dude. And shout out to Phil. I got to get you on the show, Phil. Sorry. But, yeah, man. So, I mean, besides this, I mean, are you – do you feel like you're going to go back to Louisiana too, like, to fight down there? Or you, like, want to stay up here for a bit until you get – more dubs in the record?
If some promotion want to invite me, like I said, because my first two amateur fights were like in Virginia while I was living in Louisiana. So I like a road trip fight. Honestly, if we can pack up the guys like Scooby-Doo and hop in the van and then go fight in Florida or fight in like Arizona, you know, let's go test that different area. Like, come on. Like, I like that. So if they invite me, I'll accept an invite. But I'm living here, and it's nice to wake up in your own bed and go to sleep in your own bed. So.
Well, Aaron, I totally am honored to have spoken with you, and I like that you're a Louisiana guy, because, like, the best thing about Louisiana, and people ask me, they say, well, because everybody thinks Louisiana is New Orleans. Everybody, yeah. Like, they have that perception, and it's like, oh, well, oh, you going to New Orleans? I said, no, I'm going to fucking West Monroe, Louisiana. Oh, what are you doing there? I ain't doing shit but eating and fucking chilling. It is chilling. Such great. a relaxed pace. Like, up here, it's like, go, 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 go. But, like, you go down Louisiana, it's just like you coast.
It is very. It's the lazy river.
But I love it, man. I love it. But, Aaron, it's been a total honor having you on the show. And, I don't know if you want to keep it a secret, but is there any way you want to call out where you want to, anybody can follow you at?
Oh yeah. Earthquake MMA on everything. It's the same on Twitter and the same on Instagram. I really don't use anything else. I don't know what TikTok. I'm grown, I guess. That's how I feel about TikTok. I feel like I'm too old. My nieces watch TikToks and stuff, and they make me feel like a geezer. So just Earthquake MMA, all one word, Twitter or Instagram.
Y'all people better watch this, because this dude's a force. You can say that. You can see the lovely message him and Johnny discussed. So yeah, man, we can't wait to see your career and see what other people you're gonna take care of, and we'll probably see you again soon.
All right,
thank you, man, and thank you, everybody. Earthquake Aaron Trussell and Maddie from Maddie C Sports. Thank y'all.
Thanks for watching Maddie C Sports for You and Me. Make sure to follow Maddie C on MattCameron23 on Twitter, MattieC23 on Instagram, and subscribe to Maddie C Sports for You and Me on YouTube.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow, lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One pun, I'm an animal, then I'm a cannibal, taking my pick and I pounce. Bold and serious, cold amphibious track murderer. A cup I need by no one, so I got my back vertebra. The heat is up, extinguisher, I got the track burning up. Don't think to touch, 6 feet's enough to get the match to combust. Diamond, strike it, ignite on any gift and surface silent. Callous, symbols that come from...